With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, the CBS Sports Soccer Podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we have a special interview episode following the 2023 NWSL Draft. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube so that you never miss out whenever we go live or our exclusive interviews. Today, we welcome the number three overall pick of the 2023 NWSL Draft, defender and newest member of Orlando Pride, Emily Madrill. Emily, welcome to Attacking Third.
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me.
We're hyped to have you on the show. It's your first time here on A3, and we're thrilled to chat with you. First things first, preseason's in full swing. How are you doing today, and how does it feel to get in the mix with the club for the start of preseason?
Doing well. Our first official day is on Saturday, so the whole team hasn't come back together, but I had my first training with the girls that are in town and wanted to come, like an optional training, and it was good.
Nice. I want to chat with you a little bit about sort of what feels like kind of an accelerated timeline at this point. We're roughly, several weeks out from the draft, but it almost feels like it was just yesterday. And now there's the potential for players to report to markets. They can get into preseasons early if they'd like. But I really want us to maybe try to give you a chance to talk about your draft day experience. What was it like going through that event day, and how did it sort of feel to hear your name being called during the draft?
Yeah, I think the whole day it went by pretty fast, honestly. I was like trying to count down the minutes until it finally got there, and then it was just there and it was over. But it was very exciting, and it was a good day. I was just hanging out in the morning. I actually got coffee with the Orlando staff and just talked about like what it would look like if I got drafted there, and just trying to get to know each other, which was kind of cool. We ended up talking for like an hour and a half. Which was like just a little nice break in the morning before getting ready for the draft. And then I just got ready, and my family, my parents were there, and my boyfriend and my boyfriend's parents. So that was cool too. And then the actual draft, they talked about the red carpet and stuff. So that was kind of cool. And then got to meet the other draftees who, I've played against or played with for a couple years. And so it was just nice to see some familiar faces. And then of course people always say like how the draft is, anything can happen. And so, I had a feeling I would end up in Orlando, but then of course, like you can't put 100% of what you think is going to happen, cause it might not happen that way. And so, when the first couple names are getting called, I'm getting nervous, and then they announce the trade, I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to like think I'm going somewhere and then end up going somewhere different. And so, that part was kind of nerve wracking, but, of course it felt amazing to get my name called, and third pick was just amazing. I'm really happy that I ended up in Orlando.
Yeah, it's a little bit nerve-wracking being at the draft. Sandra and I had the pleasure to be there this year as well in Philadelphia. I got my own coffee that day around town, so I'm glad you did too. And it sounds like you had a nice little contingency with you, with your parents, your boyfriend, your boyfriend's parents. So I have to know, after your name was called, who'd you hug first, your parents or your boyfriend?
So we set it up strategically. Mm-hmm. So my boyfriend was next to me, and then my parents next to him, and then my boyfriend's parents next to them. So I just went down the line, boyfriend first, then parents. Yeah. So I was like, well, I whispered to them before. I was like, do I like give you guys a hug before? Like, let's figure this out so that when the cameras are on, like, we know what's going on. So yeah, it just, we figured it out. And,
well, I'm glad you worked through the logistics. It looked very smooth from what we saw on our end. Great job. Great job. You seem like a planner. I like that type of personality. Me too. But you're the first defender, right? Going third overall, selected in the first round. What are some things about your playing style that you think are going to contribute to Orlando Pride?
I think, I love to have the ball at my feet. So as a center back, I think that's one thing that's helped me kind of build my confidence in that position is getting the ball. I like to start the build and I like to, you know, see the whole field in front of me. And then of course the teams I've played on, I've always had the freedom to just dribble and take the ball, like where I see and where I want kind of for the most part. So I think that's definitely one of my strengths. And then I think defending wise, I think I'm a pretty solid 1v1 defender. You know, I take pride in those 1v1 battles, and I don't like when, if someone does beat me one time, I'm like, okay, I see what's going on here. You know, I take pride in that sort of thing. And I think over the last couple of years, I've tried to just like step up a little bit more as a leader, like be more vocal on the field, because, you know, when you start in college and you're a freshman, sophomore, that's not really your responsibility. And so I just like, you know, listen to what the older people were saying. But then I think as I got older and then I hit my fifth year there, I was like, all right, it's kind of my turn to step that up and be more vocal. So I think those things.
Nice. You know, you're one of like multiple Florida State players that were selected within the 2023 NWSL. It's a program that's, you know, had a lot of success during your time there, specifically including the 2021 NCAA championship. You know, what is that sort of a process like? Because there's all those nerves that sort of come with the draft day for your own future path, but to sort of also be in the presence of potentially witnessing the next step for your teammates. What was it like sort of participating in those moments with them as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, after my name got called, I was like trying to still pay attention to, like, cause you know, you go behind and I couldn't really hear what they were saying. And so I'm trying to like look at the screen and see like who's getting called to see, you know, where Clara and Jenna were going. And then by the time I got back to my seat, it was like, Jenna was right after me, right? The fourth pick. Yeah. So I missed that completely. I didn't see that until I got back to my seat. And then right when I sat down is when Clara got drafted. So then I texted her immediately. And it's funny because she was watching it online, the stream, and the stream was behind. And so she found out where she was going from my text. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I kind of like spoiled it maybe a little bit. Oh, so no. That was kind of funny. But of course, it's just amazing. Like, with my Florida State teammates. And then, like I said, I've played with some of the other girls. And so just to celebrate everybody getting picked and, you know, taking that next step in their professional career, I think it's like, it's just fun. It's fun to, you know, get to celebrate all of that together.
For you, you took a bit of a unique path from college into the NWSL because you left Florida State University and you ended up signing with the league. Then they put you on loan to play professionally in Sweden before your name was then going to be re-entered into the 2023 NWSL draft. So you still got to be drafted, but it was a little bit of like a workaround in a sense. How did this plan develop? Where did it come from and how did it develop?
Yeah, if you asked me last January if I thought I was going to go live in Sweden for half the year, I would have been like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. But I think after, you know, my plan was to stay at Florida State last spring and fall and finish out and then enter the draft like everybody else. But, you know, after the coaching change, I just felt like it was a tough decision, but I just felt what was best for my career was to go. And I wanted to join the NWSL at that time. And I thought maybe there was a way I could. Obviously that didn't work out, but then it was amazing that they let me sign with them anyways, and then loan me out. So yeah, then it's just all trying to like figure out the best way with my agents and, you know, talking to family and coaches and stuff, just trying to figure out the correct path. And then the NWSL came up with, you know, signing me and then putting me out on loan and then still have to still get to go to the draft. So definitely, yeah, a little bit a weird and interesting way to get there, but I mean, it's worked out great, and I had a great time in Sweden, and now I'm here, so it's perfect.
Unique. We're using unique as the term to describe unique. It.
That's the one.
Yes, that's the term we like. But hey, you'll learn, and you're already learning that you plan things, and they never go as planned. But for you, it really worked out in the end. You were able to play professionally before entering the draft. You got a little taste of playing professionally. What was it like to play in Sweden?
It was a lot of fun. I've heard, you know, before leaving Florida State, I've heard like good things about Sweden and that it's like a really competitive league. It's it's just a good league. And Gabby Carl went to Sweden. One of my Florida State teammates went to Sweden 6 months before I did. And so, I knew that if she, you know, it's a good league, she's there, she's probably doing well. So, and I think just on the team, there's a lot of Swedish national team players, which I think was cool. You know, they're obviously a really successful team. And I got to just learn from them and learn from everybody on the team, really. They'd all been, you know, playing professionally for a lot longer than I have, obviously. And so just taking what I could to learn from them. And the coaches were really cool, really nice. I was only there for 4 months and everybody knew that, but they still invested in me and like made me feel really welcome and wanted me to get better, even though, you know, at the end of the day, there was no real benefit for them to do that. So it was amazing. I had a great time, learned a lot. And it was tough with the language barrier, even though they still do speak English, they prefer Swedish. So that was kind of a fun challenge to like work through that a little bit. So now I'm back. Happy to be back.
So you go from winning a title with the FSU, you have a short stint in Sweden. So you kind of have this kind of 1-2 combo of, big game experiences kind of before going into NWSL. So what would you say are maybe some of the biggest things that you've learned, whether it was playing collegiately with FSU or your time professionally with Sweden? What were the biggest things that you maybe learned in either of those areas that you're looking to bring with you to NWSL?
Yeah, I think it's hard to compare college to the NWSL just because, of course, there's a jump up in the level. And obviously we were a very successful program. And while I was there, like you guys said, I won two national championships and a couple ACC championships. So I think one thing I learned is how to win, at least at that level. I think it's, like I said, I don't think it'll directly transfer over to the NWSL because it's just a totally different league and all that. But I think at least I kind of learned what it takes to win and like all the little details to get it right. And like, the coaching staff went really into the details of like the tactics and things like that. So I think I learned a lot on the field for sure, tactically and like technically and all of that and what it takes to win. And I think just, I mean, it's hard to like say exactly what I learned because it's just like 5 years go by and I feel like a completely different person. You know, it's just such a crucial time in your life because you're growing as a person and like trying to figure out life as well as play soccer and you know, try to learn how to be a better player. So I think, yeah, I honestly don't even know. There's so much that I learned and I don't even know honestly what to say about that. But that's all I got, I think, for now.
Yeah, we understand completely. We'll talk to you 5 years from now again, and you'll be like, I don't even know. It happened in a blink. That's how it happens. It's how you learn and you grow. But at the start of this conversation, in this interview with you, you talked about how you're in Orlando. You had your first days at the club today, despite it not necessarily being the official start to preseason. But what are your initial impressions of being a professional in the NWSL? You're your first day on the job, essentially, today.
Yeah, I mean, first impression, everybody was really nice. You know, everyone came up and, you know, gave hugs, introduced each other, which is really cool. If I had any questions, someone jumped in and helped me. So first impression, everybody is really nice. And then I think, like I said, it's just like a higher level. And I think for some players during this break, it's tough because they don't really have a team environment to train with over the break. And I was the same way. I trained with Florida State like 2 days. And that's like the first time I've had a team training in a month and a half or something like that. So Just like getting back out on the field and like opening up training a little bit more. It was fun, but of course it's tough because, you know, you're not quite used to it. But yeah, just had a lot of fun. And, you know, they had like the music playing at the beginning during the warm up, which was fun. Everyone's in good spirits, good mood because the season's about to start. So I had a good first day.
Did they play any jams that you were particularly into that you were like, yes, this is my song, let's go?
It was kind of more pop music. Okay. And I can't say that I listened to too much pop, but like, you know, it's music that everybody can like dance to and like, right, you know, listen to a little bit and like it. So yeah, it was good.
We'll have to get in touch with the DJ at Orlando Pride, get some Emily Madrill songs on the playlist.
Yeah, I'm going to send them my Spotify playlist for sure.
Oh, oh my goodness. What's one song that you would try to add in there in the rotation right away?
This one might be considered pop, but Last by Burna Boy.
Okay.
Nah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I think it's kind of like on TikTok, maybe.
Just in the sense that it's like popular. Yeah. I think maybe.
Yes.
I don't think genre wise it's pop though, but
yeah, but it's popular. Yeah.
I like it. That's a good pick.
Let's mix it up. Let's get it in there for you. You're officially squad part of a preseason. Let's get some of your tracks in there as well.
Let me add one on the queue real quick.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when it comes to like this sort of phase of this season, it's still very early. It's still like the time where you're sort of working things out, you're sort of establishing your routine and your day-to-day. So for yourself, for a lot of players, before they embark on a long regular season, they take a look at the season in front of them and maybe develop some personal goals. So for yourself, what are maybe some things that you are looking to task yourself with in your first professional season in NWSL?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think, of course, my goal on any team that I'm on is to be a starting player, be in a starting 11. I don't think any player really strives to be on the bench, but I definitely don't want to be on the bench. I definitely want to be in the starting lineup. So that's definitely one of my goals. And then I think, you know, I've heard that it's just such a long season. And I think, of course, I keep my personal expectations high, but I think it's just, I think it's going to be a year of a lot of learning, a lot of, you know, challenges, a lot of downs. I think just naturally that's the way that it goes. You just have ups and downs. So I think just trying to, you know, take it all in and just learn what I can and, you know, of course, perform the best that I can. Definitely, like I said, I have high expectations for myself. So I want to do the best that I can and, you know, just help the team be successful.
You've played with a lot of talent at Florida State in Sweden, and now walking onto this Orlando Pride squad and looking at the roster and some of the legends that Orlando has signed for this year, including Brazilian international Marta. Is there a particular lesson or challenge you're hoping to find against Marta? Are you like really jazzed to go against her in training or talk to her about being a professional or anything like that that comes with playing alongside some of these legends?
Oh yeah. Already today at training, we did a little possession and I'm on the other opposite team is Marta. And I'm like, oh, I gotta like be on point right now. I got a defender. Like it's Marta, you know? But I think she has so much to, you know, so much knowledge to give and so much I can learn from her. So I think just, yeah, getting to know her a little bit and talking to her, I think she has so much to share and I'll try to soak it all in. But yeah, definitely on the field, if we're on different teams, I'm going to be like, all right, I gotta step it up because I can't have Marta making me look silly out here.
Nice. You know, look, competition is massive in NWSL. I've got to tell you that. But in terms of the league entering its season in 2023, it's also looking ahead to a new era. They're closing the chapter on a previous decade of existence, and now it's going to be entering their 11th year. One of the cool things sort of coming out of the draft is that because the NWSL has celebrated their 10th anniversary last year, what we're seeing now are players who are entering the league who have had the opportunity to kind of grow up with the league and watch games and watch players and watch performances. So as you sort of take these first steps as a pro in NWSL, like, is there a particular NWSL club team that you're like really amped to potentially go up against in your rookie season or other opposition?
Yeah, I think the most fun games are when you play against the people that you know. And I know Jay Howell's on Racing Louisville, and I played with Natalia Kuika on the Thorns, and they're the reigning champs. So that's going to be a really exciting game. So I think just the people that I get to play that I know personally, you know, I think you just, not to say you try a little bit harder, but, you know, you go into those tackles a little harder and you want to, you know, show that you're the better team. And you know, those, that's always just a good time. So I'd say those two teams I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. When you know players on the competition, I mean, the smack talk starts earlier. You got the text going. You got the elbows on the field. You got the whispers in the ear. I get it. We get it completely.
100%. Yes.
We're going to be looking now. We're going to be looking for those matchups if they come to light. We usually close out these interviews with a bit of fun with our guests. And a lot of times when it tends to be this phase of the season, we talk a lot about routine and preparation and stuff like that. We actually had a quick interview with your head coach in Seb Hines, and we also sort of pitched him something similarly. But a lot of part of routine is part of what you consume or what you put into your body, or that early morning coffee or that post training meal that you want to have. So is there something that you got to have during this time, during a training week, whether it's what's your go-to morning beverage or what's your post game training meal or snack that you got to have during the week?
I had to say coffee, of course, coffee. I like to have 2 cups a day if I can. Nice. So one on the way to training, although I think it's probably better to drink water. So we'll see. We might switch the morning coffee to the afternoon just so I can drink more water before training, because it is hot here. And then for a like pre-bed snack, I like a yogurt with blueberries or strawberries and then some granola. And that's like, it's not technically sweet, which kind of sucks because I always want something sweet, but it's like tastes a little bit sweet and it's healthy, of course. So that's what I like to eat almost every night before I go.
Wow. That sounds delicious. It's not super sweet. Sometimes I do that and I add a little bit of honey, gives it a little bit extra sweetness while still being like on the healthier side. I get it.
Yes. Yeah. That's the one.
Roman out here giving tips, you know, just kissing you. Emily, this was awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today on Attacking Third. Best of luck in the upcoming season. Thanks to all of our listeners for joining. We always like to thank the audience along the way. Everybody, download, follow, listen, and please subscribe to us anywhere you get your podcast. You can watch us, subscribe to YouTube, be alert for whenever we go live at youtube.com/AttackingThird. For Sandra Rodat and Lisa Roman and Emily Miro, this was set.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.